We're talking to Melia Sims this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
So we talked to Melia a few weeks ago about your book, Secret Lives of Teeth.
Yes.
But there's an election coming and we're going to look at what's on offer. It's like a very detailed, focused interview into what's happening in this election, purely around dental policy. But my first question was going to be actually like your, I sort of feel like your book is, it's talking about alternative ways of looking at teeth problems. And I'm very certain that none of the parties who have dental policies have got anything like that in their policy. So do you still see a purpose in mainstream dental care?
Yes, there definitely is a purpose in mainstream dental care. I think the policies that I've been looking at being offered in this election are very informed by the dental profession and very specific ideas about what kind of dental care is needed. And that has some overlap with what I, as a holistic natural oral health coach, think is needed. But it's not a total fit. But there's definitely a place for dentists and dentistry, both as diagnosis, to be able to pick up problems before they get too advanced and deal with them early while they're small and minor.
Yeah.
And to deal with problems once they're really advanced and serious, and that the home remedies and natural holistic approaches that I support people with aren't going to be enough to deal with, you know, a tooth that needs to be pulled out or something like that.
Okay. So I guess why do we normally talk about dental policies at elections?
I can't ever remember this being part of an election.
It has come up. Labor's gone and done what they always do, which is, we're going to have free dental care, but not yet, and not for everyone. So we're just going to like dip our toes in the water because we're too scared to do anything dramatic, like they did with their GST off fruit and veggies. People saying you need to take for the sake of poor people, take GST off all food.
Mm.
But no, they went for the stuff that, anyway.
Well, they're the moderate middle ground party, aren't they?
The party of incrementalism. So they do have a policy, though. Who else has policies?
Well, it was actually the Greens came up with their policy first, and I sat in on the policy webinar announcement of their dental policy back at the beginning of August. And Labor didn't come out with their dental policy until sort of mid-September, and then a week later Top, the Opportunities Party, came out with theirs. And those are the only three parties that have got anything specific about dental. But that's still more dental than I've ever seen in an election.
So, there's an interesting question. We have free healthcare. Why don't we have free dental care? Does anybody know?
Well, I think there's a very long and complex explanation which goes right back to the 19th century, and when there was a kind of a turf war between medical schools and dental schools, and that's when the two really split off, and then that got reinforced by the economics of medical and dental, particularly in countries like New Zealand, where there's been a move towards publicly funded health, but because dental is seen as separate. But it's really got no that separation is in contrast or conflict with the truth of our bodies are completely integrated, and our oral health more and more is being proved in scientific research to have an influence on our whole body health, particularly autoimmune conditions, Alzheimer's, cancer, diabetes, all sorts of diseases, and vice versa. So you can get teeth and gum problems as a side effect or a result of having problems elsewhere in your body. So it's a two-way interaction.
Okay, so a lot of health initiatives that the Department of Health takes up are seen as public goods that and almost like an investment. So if we keep people healthy, then at a basic level, everybody can work and the country can like steam ahead. So would you say that dental issues are under that category as well?
Well, absolutely. I mean, tooth decay is the most common disease in the world. And in New Zealand, there's more than 1.5 million adults are estimated to have an unmet need for dental care, mostly because of cost, which is just extraordinary when you think about it. And if you've ever had like a really bad toothache, you know how debilitating it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Keeps you awake at night. It's hard to concentrate on work. You can't eat properly.
I couldn't do anything.
Sometimes
I had a really
nasty
one.
Sometimes you can't talk.
Yeah. All I could do was like, I was in the bathroom. I found that tap temperature water was the perfect temperature to stop my tooth from hurting.
Mm-hmm.
So every 10 seconds, I'd put a new bit of water on it. And that's all I did for ages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that, yeah, I was completely debilitated by that. I just want. Anyway, enough about me.
Well, it's a real drain on the economy. So from a government perspective, I wasn't functional
then.
I think it really makes sense to make sure that dental is funded. Of course, in New Zealand, we're very lucky and unusual in the world that up to 18 years old, dental is funded for young people, which is fantastic. And so what we're looking at now is this kind of expansion to older ages.
Right.
In the current election, that's the conversation that's on the table.
From parties that we don't know. Things always, parties that probably won't get power.
Who knows?
The truth is there's been a little bit of history of the right-wing parties over polling before an election, so I don't think it's cut and dried as some people think. But we are talking about either centre or left parties.
The National Act, New Zealand First, they've got nothing to say. Total silence on the subject.
Have they made any comments? Have they responded to the fact, the current government has put out a policy about dental care. Have they even responded to that?
Well, to be honest, I haven't been following the debates or anything like that. So all I've done is gone and looked at the policies themselves, because I find politics and elections as boring as everyone else does. And so it was a big deal for me to even look into this as far as I have.
You've done a policy analysis, like you said you used to do at university, so this is quite thorough for – this is pretty thorough for the morning show. So do you want to tell us what you've done?
Okay, so what I've done is I've compared the policies of the three parties who have got dental policy, which is Labour, Greens and TOP, and all of them are looking at providing basic dental care, but the difference is that Labour and TOP, it's only up to the age of 30, and for the Greens, it's universal, which means all ages. There's not too much difference in sort of the detail of what and how they're going to deliver. It's like more community places, whether that's going on to marae or setting up vans outside of schools or integrating into medical centres or expanding private medical care. I don't think the delivery is really the point of difference. It's the expansiveness of it. And one of the issues that both Labour and the Greens are concerned with is the shortfall in the dental health workforce.
I've just written down that question now. Where are we going to get the dentists from? We're going to get them from overseas, aren't we?
Well, that's what Labour is going to do in the first instance, is give... expand the migration policies to let in more people with dental training, and also do an active recruitment campaign. There's funding for that in their policy as well.
So a question around that. I'm pretty sure from memory that if you do a dental degree, certainly the one in Otago, this might be years old, but very expensive fees-wise. So do we have a shortfall in people being produced within New Zealand anyway?
Well, we do, because the Otago Dental School is the only dental school in New Zealand.
Oh, it's the only one.
Yeah, and I don't know how many dentists it produces a year, but so Labor's proposing to increase the funding for training so that there'll be 75 new trainees start in 2025 and 90 new trainees in 2026. And Greens also have a policy of training New Zealand dentists, lifting the cap on training placements and supporting more Māori and Pacifica people into dental careers with scholarships and outreach.
Is that typical Labour, where it's not nearly enough to actually solve the problem?
Well,
I mean, to start
it's
is good.
A start.
Let's not be fully critical. Let's not be 100% critical.
I mean, it's not my ideal wish, but it's certainly better than what we have at the moment. It's a good first step.
Mm. But I can see, I think about it now, I haven't had a dentist for years who is actually a New Zealand dentist who was trained in New Zealand.
Yeah, and there's a kind of broader ethical question is if we're kind of pulling in dentists from other parts of the world, then, you know, there's a worldwide shortage of dentistry. There's countries and regions where there's a severe deficit of dentists to the point they're called dental deserts. And we have a dental desert in New Zealand on the east coast around, you know, that kind of Gisborne area.
Yeah.
Where, you know, people have to travel 300 miles, 300 kilometres, I mean.
Might as well be 300 miles.
Yeah, it might as well be 300 miles to get to a dentist.
That's ridiculous.
Just for basic care.
I was annoyed having to go to Hamilton for some of my dental care. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you said that the Labor's saying they'd subsidise. Does that mean they would actually make the fees cheaper for dentists? Is that what they meant, or it meant that they just put more money in the same way it was?
I am not sure about that. I don't think that was made completely clear.
They probably don't know themselves.
Yeah, they probably don't. I don't think it was... I mean, when you compare the Labor and the Greens policy, and the Greens policy came out a month earlier, it is so detailed, really down to very fine, granular kind of explanations of how it's funded and so on, whereas Labor... is a little bit more slapdash, obviously. Someone was like, okay, we've got to say something about dental. Let's figure it out.
Yeah, they probably thought it would be something that would look good, that would appeal.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, that's what they do around election time especially. Okay, so let's talk about the Greens one then.
Yeah, so obviously to me, I think that universal dental care is a better... situation than just the under 30s. And there's a couple of reasons that I think that, other than the fact that I'm in my 50s and I would quite like to have free dental care.
Me too.
But, you know, in terms of the sort of problems that you get through your life, the older you are, it is true, you tend to have more dental problems. There's an accumulation of them. Yep. And so, you know, there's a real need for this older generation to have this access as well, but also that the kind of the 30 to 60-ish people, we have a lot more people dependent on us. We are kind of carrying the workforce. We're the caregivers for both the younger and the older generation. Mm. And so when we're knocked out with dental problems, it's not just us that's affected. It's our families, it's our employers, it's our clients and colleagues. So
that's very true. And the cost, well, let's talk about, I want to bring in like you talked about people up the east coast being hundreds of kilometers from dental care, and something has happened with the general rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer in this country, and we now see, unlike in my childhood, we now see lots and lots of people with teeth missing front, left and right, you know, everywhere. Like people, a lot of people's mouths look really mangled these days and they didn't used to. So is that another, I mean, how much of a big deal is that? Like what is that? I know it's not good for those people as individuals, but as a country, what does that mean?
Well, it's creating a burden on the general health, because every tooth that you lose is correlated with a shorter lifespan and more other kinds of health problems later in life. And you don't want to lose a tooth, but sometimes it's cheaper than a lot of dental restorations.
Well, it's going to cost,
that's why people end up with it.
Yeah, if you get a root canal and a crown, it's like $5,000 approximately.
Yeah, whereas you can have a tooth pulled for $460, which is still more than a week's rent for me.
Or your mate can get his pliers. And do you think there's home dental care happening at the moment?
Because
it's so costly.
Yeah, I think there is. Yeah, particularly where teeth are loose already because of like gum disease and bone loss.
Yeah.
And teeth are getting loose. Well, why pay to have someone pull out a loose tooth when you can, you know,
have a bottle of bourbon and, and your mate will do it.
Oh. Yeah. I shouldn't laugh because it's horrible.
Yeah. Oh, it's, well, no, you got to laugh sometimes, don't you? It's about all you've got in that situation. Yeah. It's interesting that it's like ambulance service is also a thing that the government doesn't fully fund. And you just think, oh, how did that happen? Why, you know?
Yeah.
The care is free once you get to the hospital. You've just got to get there. And,
Well, and because it's basically a private service.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, the governments aren't running the ambulance service. It's St. John's. It's just a, well, it's a charity, but still.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. You talk about basic dental care. Like, what is that? Is that what the government's funding? Like, are they funding? Yeah, what are they? Are they funding basic dental care? Are they funding stuff to make your teeth look beautiful? Are they funding the really serious stuff like root canals that's really expensive? Like, what? How far do they go?
All right. So what they're proposing in these policies is the kind of basic of annual checkups, X-rays, basic fillings, and extractions. And then also looking at delivering the more advanced care, so where there's root canals, multiple fillings, gum surgery, deep cleanings, things like that. So pretty much covering everything except, I think, cosmetic and orthodontic care.
Okay, what's orthodontic?
Oh, that's like braces where you're straightening crooked teeth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is there an argument for that to be done?
I would say no.
Okay. And at least it's like the same argument that poor oral health affects the rest of your health.
But the
argument doesn't apply to braces and things.
From my holistic perspective, there's so much that can be done with whole body approaches and holistic approaches to get a broader jaw and have straighter teeth. Mm. And unless it's interfering in your ability to eat or breathe, or causing you a lot of pain, I don't think there's a strong justification for governments to fund orthodontic treatment.
No, that's a nice to have rather than a must have.
I think so.
Yeah, although it's all been treated as a nice to have at the moment.
It certainly is.
Yeah, okay. So now I know we've got a question here. How do these policies stack up from a basic, from a holistic oral health perspective? So because that's your thing about the holistic perspective. Yeah. I imagine you would like to put a whole lot of things in there that aren't in there, but baby steps, I guess, is what we've got at the moment. But how does it stack up from that perspective, that holistic perspective?
I think that probably my main beef is the inclusion of sealants in the list of things that would be covered under holistic dental care, because I think sealants are really problematic.
What are sealants?
So sealants are like a plastic, they're not a filling in that the dentist doesn't drill out the tooth to make room to put the plastic in, but it's to fill in the deep kind of crevices that you'll have in your molars, some people have in their molars. So that they don't become food traps. And it's done a lot with children on baby teeth, but more and more in the last 5 years or so, I've seen adults getting offered sealants. And the evidence is, the research that the dental profession themselves have done, is that they're very, very ineffective and they're deeply problematic because they contain BPAs, most of them.
BPAs are
the microplastics that can affect your hormones.
Okay, well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
How does that even, are they cheap or something?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a preventative thing. So, yeah, it's cheaper than putting in a
super glue on your teeth.
Yeah, in a way.
Kind of.
Problem is that they only work as long as they're completely 100% intact. As soon as there's the slightest little crack or chip or lifting around the edge, that becomes a little home for bacteria to get in. And when sealants are removed, 90% of the time there'll be decay underneath them. Even if the tooth, or especially if the tooth was 100% healthy before the sealant went on. So I don't think sealants should be included in that kind of basic dental care.
Okay, so is that your main issue from a holistic dental care perspective?
I mean, in an ideal world, I would love to see dental clinics, I guess, dental offices, including someone like myself, a coach who works with people on diet and oral hygiene practices, who can take some time to talk with people and like listen to the bigger context in which their dental problems are happening.
And this is preventative. care, what you're talking about, isn't
it? Well, it's also healing. You know, and even dentists themselves will admit this, that under good circumstances, a small filling can remineralize itself. Well, in my experience, even larger fillings can as well, given the right protocols and the support to be able to put those protocols into practice consistently.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going way out here from what is known and accepted in the mainstream dental world, and I would never expect to see that in a dental policy, even from, you know, a party like the Greens. But, you know, in my little wish list, and while we're on the subject of wish lists...
Yes.
So the only thing really that I have to say positive about the National Party's potential for dental support is they're proposing a third medical school at Waikato University, which I think is actually a really good idea. It'll be really good for the country as a whole and for the Waikato in particular to have a whole lot of new doctors being trained up locally. Well, why not put a new dental school in there as well and have the dentist take some classes in dentistry and the dentist take some general medical classes, so there's that crossover and understanding and they're really able to integrate and work with both the oral health and the body health with the human beings who show up for them, not just with bodies but with mouths as well.
I think something everyone could get on board with is a second dental school in this country.
Yeah.
It does seem strange that there's only one.
Yeah.
So is there a simple way to help people decide who to vote for out of this? We've only, as we said at the start, we've only got three parties, Labour, Top and Greens with dental policies. Everyone else is dental agnostic, shall we say? I just invented that term. I don't know if it's very accurate, but... What's the takeaway from all this?
Well, personally, I don't think dental's the most important issue facing New Zealand at the moment.
But how important would you put it? Because we were talking about it's never even popped up before. Is it more important than we think?
I think it's more important than we think, but... You know, I think it should be part of the conversations that we're having about health, and that should be always part of the conversations we're having at health, not just at this election time.
Yeah.
But I also think, you know, that climate change and the environment and the economy and housing are, well, they're going to influence my voting more than dental policy is.
Okay, right, even though you're the dental
person.
Even
though I'm, you know, the holistic, it's my work and my passion.
Yeah,
I still care more about the planet. And
We're on the planet. When we, it's no good having nice teeth if there's no planet to live on.
That's right. Yeah. But in doing my preparation for this conversation with you, I was really pleased to discover this website called VoteNZ. And there they have links to sites that will help you figure out who to vote for in a very easy and painless kind of way. So there's you can link from there to another site called policy.nz.
Yeah.
And that has all the policies laid out. Plus you can see each party's leaders and candidates and read a little short bio of each one. So you kind of, I got a real sense of what's going on in the field. I found that really useful. And I think it's created by Stuff, you know, the news website Stuff, and you know, it's nicely illustrated. It's very user-friendly. And then there's another site called Vote Compass, which is a TVNZ site, which has like a questionnaire, like a personality quiz, and you answer all these questions about the things that you care about and what's important to you. And at the end, it says, well, perhaps you'd like to vote for this party.
I had a look at that, and the idea is good. I just have a little trouble with the implementation or the framing of it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of the things they say, who's framing the debate? And the way they've framed it makes Green Party look extremist and ACT Party look quite centrist.
Oh, okay.
And ACT is so very extreme. Their economic policies are the same as, you know, that UK Prime Minister who only lasted 6 weeks because she crashed the economy and the Bank of England had to step in and intervene. Like, so right-wing that the most right-wing people thought it was too much. ACT is like that.
Yeah.
So I like what they're trying to do, but I think they've framed it in a way that's very establishment-oriented, so people need to take that into account. But it is, if you know nothing about politics, probably that's a good place to start.
Yeah. I mean, at least I wouldn't stop there, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already made up my mind. I was just kind of doing it out of interest, and it confirmed my own preferences.
Yeah.
So it wasn't putting me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I've got quite extreme views, I think.
Don't say it's extreme. So, folks, there you go. A deep dive into dental policy for the coming election. And thank you for coming in, Melius.
Thank you so much for having me.
And and the other interview is, he's got locked out of the studio because Mike came in before during the interview, so I'm going to go and let him in out of the wind. That'll be nice. Thanks for coming in.